Good morning. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. We lift our hearts up to you. We lift our lives up to you. Lord, speak to us today, please. Speak to us. Make those changes in us, Lord. The changes you want to make. And we want you to make. Bless your word this morning. Bless it to our hearts and to our lives. Open up heaven for us, Lord, that we would know you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to be in John chapter 2. I know you're thinking I was going to be in Lamentations, but we'll go there a little bit later. John chapter 2, verses 12 through 25. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews, and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. This is a familiar passage. In fact, this event is recorded in all four Gospels. But there's a difference with John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke put this at the end of his ministry, during the week that he was crucified, during Passover week. John, for some reason, places it at the beginning. Now, there's a difference of opinion as to when it took place. And I'm going to get to that a little bit later. But I want to look at, first of all, some similarities between John's account of it and Matthew's. We're going to look at 7 of them. Number 1, Matthew places the cleansing of the temple at the beginning of Passover week. John 2:13 tells us that the Jews' Passover was at hand. The Jews' Passover in Exodus 12:11, it says, it referred to the Passover as the Passover of the Lord. But here we see it's called the Jews' Passover, or a feast of the Jews. Something had happened. Maybe that's what happens when you try to push God out of things and make it for your own. For your own advantage, a lot of times. Number 2, Matthew 21:12 mentions those that sold and bought in the temple. In John 2:14, we are told that Jesus in the temple found those that sold. Number 3, Matthew refers to those that sold doves. In John 2:14 and 16, It also speaks of the doves. Number four, Matthew tells us that Christ overthrew the tables of the money changers. In John 2:15, it tells us that Christ overthrew the tables. Number five, Matthew says that Christ cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. In John 2:15, it says he drove them all out of the temple. The Greek word for cast out is ekbalo. The Greek word for drove out is ekbalo. It's the same word. It means to eject. Number six, according to Matthew 21:13, the Lord said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." In John 2:16, it tells us that he said, "Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." That doesn't sound too bad, does it? Merchandise? Merchants? Yet in Zephaniah 1:11, it says, "How, you inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off." In Albert Barnes' notes on Zephaniah, merchants are not viewed in a favorable light. These merchants would take advantage of the people. See, when they came to the temple, they would have to pay the temple tax, and the merchants would make change for them. They would charge them for giving them change back from whatever money they had. They would charge them for whatever they needed to buy or purchase for the Passover, for the sacrifice, or for the purification. They would lend them money and charge them exorbitant usury rates. They took every opportunity to cheat the people. So they were thieves, weren't they? Alfred Edersheim, in his book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, says that in Jewish writings, there were two names for this area of the temple. The first name was the Temple Market. Sounds harmless enough, doesn't it? The second name was the Bazaars of the Sons of Annas. Anybody know who Annas was? He was the high priest at the time of Jesus. He had his relatives. He set them up in business there, changing money. It's been suggested that maybe millions of dollars went out of that temple and went into people's pockets. Jesus wasn't just upset because the temple was profaned. He was upset also that the priesthood was profaned. Malachi 3:1-3 says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he shall appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Righteousness. We sang a lot about holiness today, didn't we? About the holy place, the presence of God. It's all righteousness. Number seven, remember we're doing seven. Matthew 21 tells us that Jesus, after cleansing the temple, spent the night in Bethany, and in verse 23, upon returning to the temple, the religious leaders asked him, "By what authority doest thou these things?" John 2:18 says that the Jews asked him, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" You know, they weren't so much upset that he did it. They were upset because he felt he had the authority to do it. And of course, we know he did, didn't he? Verse 15 and 16. I'm going to read them separately. I'm going to read 15 first, obviously. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Did Jesus have a right to do that? That was other people's property, wasn't it? And yet everything belongs to him, doesn't it? The earth is the Lord and everything. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But yet, did he have a right to do it? But what did he really do? What was really lost? All those cattle and those oxen could be rounded up, couldn't they? That money could be picked up off the ground and put back in your pocket. Let's look at verse 16. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. He didn't just open up the cages and let the doves out, did he? Because he knew that they wouldn't be recovered then. He may have caused people to do a little bit of work to recover, to round up what was theirs, but he didn't totally run it off completely. Isaiah 52:13 says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall take care of those that things have been entrusted to, those things that have been entrusted to people. We see here that there are two things that are linked together. The Passover and the cleansing of the temple. So why does the book of John put this event here at the beginning? Now, some people say that it was done twice. And that may be. I know some commentators say that it was only done once. Arthur W. Pink says that in the book of John is more spiritual. And the Holy Spirit is more interested in spiritual things. And he was trying to make some points here about how dark it was in Israel. The book of John shows us that. Chapter 1, verse 5, it says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. 1:10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. 1:11 said, he came to his own did not receive him. Chapter 1, verse 26, John the Baptist, answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. That's a pretty bad indictment, isn't it? Chapter 2, verse 3, at the wedding in Cana. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. What does that have to do with anything? In Jewish thought, wine represents joy. Which means not only were they in darkness, not only didn't they know they're the Messiah, but they had no joy. Chapter 3, we see Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night. How dark was it? He goes on to say, the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Jesus was telling Nicodemus about the new birth. You have to be born again, he said. Nicodemus said, how can this be? Jesus said, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You're supposed to know this. You've read Ezekiel chapter 36, where it talks about the new birth. It talks about the new heart that we sang about. But Nicodemus somehow didn't know that. You know, you can have the Bible memorized, but that doesn't mean you know it. That doesn't mean it's in your heart. So when did it happen? How often did it happen? Maybe the cleansing of the temple did happen twice. If it did, it was at the beginning of his ministry and at the end. But if it happened twice, why does John mention it here at the beginning? Maybe he's trying to be impressed on us that at the beginning of our spiritual walk, our spiritual adventure with the Lord, that we need to cleanse our temple? Do we just do it once? No. Actually, we do it at least once a month here, don't we? First Sunday of every month, we have communion. See, it doesn't really change the argument, does it? Either way, it happened during Passover week. So what does this have to do with us? Do we see ourselves anywhere in here? What is Passover? Passover is an observance, a celebration of the blood of the Lamb being shed for us, which caused the angel of the Lord, when it was applied to the doorpost, the angel of the Lord would pass over when he saw the blood. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? What is communion? Communion actually takes the Passover a step further, doesn't it? It's still based on the same principle. But for one thing, it identifies who the Lamb is. It's Jesus Christ. Now, part of the Passover observance was a preparation. And the preparation started with getting the leaven out. People would go through their house and any crumb of bread, anything they would take out, they'd either throw it out, or some people still do that, they put it in the garage or someplace out of the house. To get the leaven out, what does leaven represent? It represents sin, doesn't it? Exodus 12:15 says, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Isn't this what Jesus was doing in the temple? Isn't this what we should be doing before we partake of communion? Our opening scripture was Lamentation 3:37-42. I'm only going to read two verses from it. I'm going to read 40 and 41. Says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. To search and try our ways. Psalm 139:23-24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I almost didn't include that passage in here because it's asking God to search our hearts. When what I'm talking about is us searching our hearts, but isn't that part of searching our hearts, is asking God to reveal those things that aren't pleasing to Him? Or go beyond that? This doesn't just mean that we leave it to Him, though, does it? This is part of us searching our hearts, asking God to search us. Examine yourself. 1 Corinthians 11:28. That's from our passage that we use for communion. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examine yourself. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Examine yourself. He shall destroy? First Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, bought with the blood of Jesus. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Examine yourself. Does the Lord need to clean house? Does our house, our temple, need to be cleaned up? I think some of us could probably say constantly. I won't mention any names. We were told in 1 Corinthians 3:17 that God would destroy those that defile his temple. That seems pretty extreme, doesn't it? Does that mean he's just going to zap us out of existence? Last week we talked about Jonah, didn't we? God had a way of getting Jonah's attention. He kind of made things very uncomfortable for him, didn't he? He does that for us, too. Destroy us? He may destroy everything around us. Why does he do it? He does it because he loves us. If he didn't care about us, he wouldn't do that. In Hebrews, it talks about a father chastening his son. He does it out of love. Back when I was a kid, we had a phenomena called the woodshed. Anybody know what that is? I bet a few of you do. It was a place of correction. It was a place of adjustment. Attitude adjustment, right? Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Remember, that's being written to believers. Revelation 6:16 speaks of the wrath of the Lamb. Now, wait a minute. We know about the lion when he comes back. He's going to come back with a sword, and he's going to come back with the blood of his enemies on the hem of his garments. But the wrath of the Lamb? You know, we could be making a very big mistake when we mistake meekness for weakness. We saw a little example of Jesus' wrath. And he'll do that to us too, won't he? He will do whatever it takes. If we're his, he'll do whatever it takes to clean our temple. He will point those things out for him. And I'm glad he does. I pray that he does. Just like that song we sing. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you, that I might know you, that I might be pleasing in your sight. I'm going to ask Bill and George, you want to help out? I knew you'd say yes. You always do. Two wonderful servants here serve the Lord. And there's a lot more than that in here, too. 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Verse 28 again, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It doesn't say that he can't. It says examine yourself first. And if there's something in you that the Lord's pointing out, talk to him about it, make it right with him. All it takes is just a few simple words to the Lord, isn't it? Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Change me. That puts us back in fellowship. That puts us back in communion with the Lord. I'm going to ask everybody, while they finish up, just to close your eyes and take the time to examine yourself and talk to the Lord about what you find there. Has everybody been served? Did we miss anybody? Okay. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for this bread. We thank you, Lord, for the body that you gave freely for us, Lord, for our salvation, that you offered it, Lord, on the cross, out of love for us. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for this cup. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed for us, the blood that cleanses us of our sins. You may drink the cup. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And he is coming back, isn't he? Soon. Linda?
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about
Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for the work you do in our lives, that you do change us, Lord. From glory to glory, you are changing us. Lord, just continue to work in our hearts. Continue to reveal to us, Lord, those things that you want to point out to us that are wrong in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us and you would help us be everything you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you'd go with us today as we go about our day, Lord, and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That concludes.